Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Message Program. This is Dan with the love of my life and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey. Before we pray, let's hear from the Lord, written by the prophet Jeremiah to Israel. And now we can see it as a similitude applied to America and actually the world. Read Jeremiah 2:19.
Your wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you.
It certainly is not. Only his remnant remains faithful. And so let us rejoice that we heeded the call of his gospel that can save the world, but they will not. Let us pray.
Abba, Father, in whom you alone we trust and glorify, are soon expecting your trumpet sound. Thank you for the water of your word that not only washes us clean, but provides protective strength, courage, stamina, and power, so very much needed in these last days. We continue to lift up to you our unsaved loved ones, and please ignite those still with one foot in the world, that they will encounter a deep spiritual awakening. We lift up to you these recent health requests and rebuke all demonic forces that continually tries to derail our focus. We need your supernatural touch to keep us in perfect peace because our eyes are fixed on you. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen, and praise to our King.
Comment on President Biden's speech?
Well, yeah, I was pretty disgusted by it, actually. It was intimidating and certainly not inspiring. Actually boring until he said he would let us know soon what the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated people would be allowed to do. And then I really perked up and I actually became angry. But I did not sin.
Yeah, but you came close.
COVID became still another crisis to reduce our freedoms as they did with the Patriot Act after 9/11.
But we are getting money, especially those with children.
Yeah, to further bribe us into submission as they raise our taxes and gas prices. And actually, it's our children who will be stuck with all this debt. However, they love to have power over the masses, which is why most think this just might not end. That there will be a dangerous variant, as they say, or perhaps even a whole different virus.
Maybe Ebola will come to America.
Yeah, I haven't heard that yet. So then we'll be expected to get another different vaccine to make Big Pharma even richer. While Biden never speaks on China's accountability, who gave us COVID, or that our own NIH helped to fund the Wuhan lab.
Overseen by Jesuit Fauci.
And that is the fact. During Biden's speech, though, he also didn't mention the terrible crisis on the border, who are bringing in more COVID. But we can't fly on an airplane without a negative test, but thousands of migrants, most without masks, just walk right in.
Ah, but they're potential Democrats.
Biden gloated in self-praise, which he should have been praising Trump for the warp speed vaccines that actually we wish had not been at all. Because from our research, they are dangerous, especially in the long haul, as we have often talked about and actually outlined in February's newsletter.
What is troubling is, will they make them mandatory as they have done in Israel?
Yes, they have in Israel. And you know what? Many are very distraught over it. Their citizens can't even go to the mall or theaters or take your final exam to graduate from school. And if you protest, you're threatened by the military. And the dissenters aren't large enough to make waves because, well, actually, most Israelis want it that way.
And we'll snitch on you, too.
Yeah. And I guess that could easily happen here. You know, little money if you snitch. Anyway, I believe that COVID has actually enhanced Netanyahu's re-election on the 23rd. For now, they love him because he's lifting the lockdown since the people have been so cooperative. But I am appalled and somewhat surprised that Bibi would force anybody to comply or face awful consequences as literally being confined to their house.
Well, it's like house arrest.
They are calling it, well, I think they're calling it a medical apartheid.
And it's coming here.
I'm hoping not, especially when they see more continuing adverse reactions. According to the CDC's / VAERS website, they report that from December 14th through March 5th, there were 1,524 deaths. That's just in a few weeks. After taking the vaccine, and that 259 were reported in just 1 week, along with over 5,000 serious injuries, of which close to 400 were reports of Bell's palsy.
How many do they need to say there's a problem?
Yeah. Meanwhile, on another front, the Palestinians are gearing up and calling for another intifada. And rumors of war are escalating in the Middle East areas of Syria, Iran, and Iraq.
The warmongers are rejoicing that the Dems are back.
For sure. And Syria is a key piece of this bigger puzzle, primarily due to its strategic location and warm water ports.
As China is gearing up to take over America.
And they could, in a variety of ways. As we amazingly watch the kings of the East, you know, that's talked about Revelation 16, prepare with their over 2 million and probably artificially the AI-infused army, you know, and it's growing. And we must comment on the new curriculum in California where teachers lead their students in a series of indigenous songs, chants, and affirmations to appeal directly to the Aztec gods.
They traditionally worshipped with human sacrifice.
They did, and cannibalism. Today, California is asking the gods for the power to be warriors for social justice.
The world is reeling.
You think? Honey, please tell our newer listeners how they can easily connect with us.
There are three ways to do this. You can email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And perhaps include a gift of love, which can also be made right on our webpage, shofarministries.net, and we will automatically add your name to our mailing list for updates and our monthly newsletters.
Okay, well, tonight we will continue the series on the Fulfilled Spring Feasts.
A favorite of mine this time of year.
And a needed refresher course for many, we are told.
How about a short review from last week?
Oh, I think that would be good. We started by emphasizing the importance for the church to understand God's extremely important seven appointments he made with all fellow men, if they choose to believe it. And we explained the significance of Palm Sunday on Nisan 10 and the selection requirements of the Lamb.
And how Jesus fulfilled that too.
And by the way, this program is up on our webpage if you choose to review it.
So the first four appointments have been literally kept by God through his Son.
Therefore, we as believers have been made beneficiaries of these kept appointments, and we will soon benefit immensely from the last three as well. And as we stressed last week, especially newer believers, when you realize the fullness of your Jewish salvation, you'll look at your Bible as truly a Jewish book to read through your spiritual eyes instead of our common Western mode.
But it takes time.
Hebrews 5:15 calls it maturing. So for the next couple of weeks, we'll be focusing on his fulfilled appointments.
So please get the word out to others to tune in.
Good idea. All right, so we read in Exodus 12 that after the choosing of the lamb on Nisan 10, it was examined for blemishes for 4 days. Later, Jesus, too, was examined in the temple for 4 days until the Passover on Nisan 14. By the way, this year on our calendar, because it changes, is March 27th from sundown till sundown. The 28th is Passover. So, before sundown at 3 o'clock, the lamb would be slaughtered in the temple area and around the corner to the northern hill called Golgotha. Jesus' side was pierced at the same time. Again, the same time as when they performed the first Passover in Egypt.
Talk about exact fulfillment.
Yes, and Jesus' last words on the cross were tetelestai, which means...
It is finished, meaning paid in full.
Amen. These same words were given on parchment to all convicts when they had finished serving their time and paid their debt to society in full. Now, if you are listening tonight and have never accepted his free gift, know there is a debt to pay for sins that Jesus paid for you by his death, thereby canceling your debt. But you must choose to accept the gift or pay the debt yourself upon your death.
Those are the facts. Take it or leave it.
Passover is memorialized as not only the escape from Egypt's slavery.
A type of our escape from the world's ways.
Right, but a time for the removal of personal sin by the sacrificing of the unblemished lamb. Leaven or yeast expands and puffs up.
So it's associated with sin.
Like pride that puffs up, you know, yourself. And when used in scripture, leaven is always a type of sin. So each year prior to Passover, the Hebrews remove all the leaven from their houses as a picture of sin to be removed from their souls when they sacrifice the sinless lamb.
Most still don't see that Jesus is their lamb for anyone who wants to receive him.
I know. Okay, so we also covered again about the two calendars as recorded in Exodus 12, and we will include a small size calendar in the next newsletter that will go out next week. We also covered about how the Jews today call the whole 8-day season Passover. But factually, only the first day is Passover until sundown the next day, which then begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread that continues for 7 more days, with the Feast of First Fruits always on the Sunday during the week of Unleavened Bread. And we touched on the fact last week how Pilate declared that after 4 days of examining, Jesus said,
I find no blemish in him.
Which are the same words used over the animal lamb.
But Pilate also did something else very remarkable.
Oh, yeah, he sure did. When Pilate was asked by the chief priest not to write on the cross that he was the king of the Jews, but rather that he claimed he was. However, Pilate stuck to his original saying, for if he had changed it, as the scribes wanted, then an amazing Hebrew acronym would not have worked. For when you take the first letter of each word in Pilate's declaration, it spells Yod Heh Vav Heh, which reads Yahweh, the name of the Father. So actually, was Jesus, he was declaring his divinity and nailed it to the cross. Again, had Pilate agreed using their other statement, it would not have done that.
Yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit was truly leading Pilate.
Yes. And by the way, we use acronyms all the time to communicate a bigger picture, you know, like in NATO, US, UN, EU. Well, so does God. Actually, a lot hidden right in his word. And that is just one example of many, but that's for another day. Okay, time to read some scripture on the next Feast of Unleavened Bread in Leviticus 23, verse 6.
And on the 15th day of the same month, is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it.
Remember, convocation means a rehearsal gathering, and the word for feast means appointment.
So, Jesus died on Passover before sundown, around 3 p.m.
Yes, and it is not a holy day, but rather their preparation day, which always precedes every Saturday Sabbath and every extra high Sabbath. To make all the preparations ahead of time, so do not transgress the law of no work on the Saturday Sabbath or the high Sabbath, of which the first day of unleavened bread was. The day of Passover, Nisan 14, that year began at sundown on a Wednesday, and that's in the evening when they had the Last Supper or the Seder meal, and we know that by John 13.
Again, Passover is not a holy day, but rather a preparation day.
Yes, before the no work day of unleavened bread that would begin at sundown.
When the calendar would then change to Nisan 15.
Yeah, it would. Then it continued for 7 more days. So, the first day of unleavened bread is a high Sabbath or a Shabbaton in Hebrew, and the last day is a high Sabbath as well, as we just read. Therefore, Jesus died on Thursday, but before sundown. So still Nisan 14. Because at sundown, it became the 15th, which is the first day of unleavened bread and a high Sabbath where no work was allowed.
So, must get Jesus down off the cross before the sun had fully set.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was raised Catholic, so it's easy to understand the holy days were treated like a Sunday and we would go to Mass. So the Hebrews have holy days too and are treated just like a Saturday Sabbath, another day of rest. So, why do most say he died on a Friday when John in Scripture explained in detail that it was a high Sabbath? Honey, maybe you should read that. It's John 19, verse 31.
The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day.
There it is, plain and simple. But again, it's that Western mode of thinking. I guess, assuming it was a Saturday, even though it literally says it's not. All right, well, by the way, when you eat your matzah during a Seder meal, if you can attend one, or even when you take communion using matzah, it has little holes in it. And, of course, that represents Jesus, whose side was pierced for you. So, Jesus had his Last Supper, which was a Seder dinner, on Wednesday after sundown, because after sundown it turns to the 14th, Passover. He died on the cross the next afternoon, which was Thursday, but still the 14th, Passover, until sundown. Therefore, they removed his body just before sundown, which was the start of the 15th, so therefore placed him in the tomb as the Feast of Unleavened Bread was beginning, which was a high Sabbath. And that would continue until sundown the next day, which that year would have been on Friday. Now, because of the historical account, which we implore you to read in Exodus 14, we know because of verse 24 that the Hebrews had come through the Red Sea in the morning watch, which we know to be just before sunrise, giving them new life. Therefore, we believe because of typology that Jesus arose during the morning watch too, just before sunrise on Sunday morning on Nisan 17. So again, that makes his death and burial on Thursday day, remaining in the tomb on Thursday night, continuing Friday day and Friday night, Saturday day and Saturday night, raised prior to 6 a.m. during the morning watch early Sunday morning, the 17th of Nisan. I know that's a lot to comprehend, and so I sure hope that you do go and listen to it again from the webpage, which is usually up in a day or two, because it's important to understand so that you can tell others. But the fulfillment of the historical account at the same time, many years before, when the Israelites finished passing through the Red Sea, when Pharaoh's army perished. Another lost battle for Satan. Hallelujah. All right, and oh, also really, if Jesus dying on Thursday would make much more sense to fulfill his own very specific prophetic typology of Jonah. Remember being in the whale for 3 days and three nights? He was specific on that. Matthew 12:39. Dying on a Friday just doesn't cut it. Again, I must reiterate, even just a little bit of your Jewish roots knowledge connects a whole lot of dots. Sadly, when I was attending Catholic school way back then, we only read the catechism and was told that reading the Bible, well, that was just too hard for me to understand. And remember, the Catholic Church was the only sanctioned religion until the Reformation in 1517. And it was always taught that he died on Good Friday. And tradition like that, well, it seldom changed. Even when they know the real truth, as in December 25th, not really being the actual birth of Christ. Of course, it's that he was born, died, and was raised from the dead. That's the important points. But still, I am a detailed person, and so it goes. So the Hebrews left Egypt the night of the 15th of Nisan on the very first Feast of Unleavened Bread, camped at Sukkot to retrieve the bones of Joseph in Genesis 50 and Exodus 14. Then on the 16th, they camped at Etham, Numbers 33. The next morning, still the 16th, they journeyed to Pi Haroth, reaching the Reed Sea in the evening, now the 17th. The Hebrews crossed through the parted sea on dry land during the night. The Egyptians followed, and God destroyed them all as he let the waters fall back into the sea during the morning watch. Years later, Jesus, too, would put the nail in the coffin of Satan by rising from the dead during the morning watch on the same anniversary date of Nisan 17. On the Feast of First Fruits. Well, of course, Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:23. But we'll get into more of that still next week. The major and most important question is, have you accepted that free gift? Or do you want to pay it all by yourself? And in hell, I might add. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. You know, Yeshua went through hell for you. He paid your debt. So now it's your choice. Who pays your debt? Will you accept Jesus? Or do you want to pay it all by yourself? So, you think you know him, but how well do you know him? Again, Jesus is your Savior. Again, he paid your debt. So sinners, you gotta wake up. Accept him now. You're a fool if you don't. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
This podcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.